Well, everything's run a little late today because of fog at Auckland Airport, which held a number of us up. But we've had the Cabinet and the Business Committee meeting. You will have seen that the appointment of the new State Services Commission has been confirmed today, and that will be Ian Rennie, and currently the Deputy at the State Services Commission. And the recommendation for him came from the panel chaired by the Minister of State Services and comprised of the Right Honourable Jim Bolger, Honourable Stan Roger and Dame Margaret Bassey. Mr. Rennie was their unanimous recommendation. Otherwise, at the Cabinet today, we've agreed to the release of the exposure draft regulations for the treatment of forestry in the Commission's trading scheme, agreed to a way forward on licensing arrangements for limited attendance early childhood centres. Those are centres of the kind that you might find in a gym or a shopping centre. The Minister of Education will be making a statement about that. And we've also agreed on the government response to the Education Science Select Committee report on the school system that will be tabled in the House. There's a discussion paper to be released on the plan of action to prevent people trafficking. This is a requirement of New Zealand being a signatory to the UN Convention against Transnational Crime and its protocols. We've agreed to amendments to be proposed to the Select Committee, which is dealing with the Real Estate Agents Bill, and major amendments, but amendments to go forward in the departmental report. We've noted that the Minister of Transport will be making an announcement about a heavy transport productivity project. There was a consultation on a discussion document some time ago, and the outcome of that was to proceed to pilots to trial whether heavy vehicles should be allowed to operate on higher levels of load in greater dimensions than at the present time. So a pilot's been carefully constructed to test those propositions. We look every week at the situation in the hydro lakes and storage. Obviously it's low. It is not as low as the levels of 1992, but it's certainly hovering at around the level for 2003 at this time of year. In 2003, the storage levels picked up from this point of the year. And I note there is quite a lot of rain forecast in the coming week, so if that would happen, would continue, that would ease the situation. But we'll simply have to wait and see what happens. In the meantime, be prepared to be advised if more needs to be done by way of savings campaigns, but that is not our advice at the present time. We've also had an update, as we do each week, on the drought report. Obviously, there's now been a lot of rain throughout virtually all the North Island, which was affected. So farmers there were advised are in recovery mode, but it will be a difficult winter for feed, and the financial effects will obviously be felt for quite some time. There's still issues in eastern Marlborough, north and central Otago, and parts of Canterbury as well. Otherwise, this week, I've just been at an event around Workers' Memorial Day, which is an opportunity to highlight the importance of health and safety in the workplace. We have, I think, today, beginning the new system of restraints for prisoners being transported, part of the response to the tragic death of the teenager in the prison van some time ago. Tomorrow we're having a LA Party caucus meeting at the Premier House. Tomorrow the Unified Skills Strategy, which I've referred to here before, which has been developed on a tripartite basis with Business New Zealand and CTU, is due to be released. Also tomorrow, I believe, the Ministry of Health will be releasing a report that they commissioned on the dioxin issue around Karatutu. It's a long-running issue. And there's also expected to be a report out this week commissioned by the Department of Labour into the dioxin issue as it's affected sawmill workers in the past. Also, probably tomorrow, the Food Safety Authority will be releasing an independent assessment they commissioned around the handling of the A1, A2 milk issue, which is of ongoing interest. And that's probably most of the announcements I'm expecting this week.
Are you comfortable with Victor Sellers relatively just leading to Hong Kong based?
I don't have a particular view on it. This particular part of the network, I understand, has been in foreign ownership at least twice before. It doesn't involve a sensitive land, so it doesn't trigger the same considerations as were triggered for Auckland International Airport.
You could argue, I guess, powers a lot of government buildings in Wellington as strategic assets or something.
Well, I haven't argued that. Are you?
Do you think that, well, your minister, Pete Dunn, was arguing that today. Do you think it's a strategic asset?
What's this, Vector?
Yeah.
Well, it's not, I don't propose to define a strategic asset here. The point I've made is it's not considered to be on sensitive land in the terms of the Overseas Investment Act, so it doesn't trigger the same issues and criteria for consideration as does Auckland International Airport.
Well, so what do you think of the idea of removing GST from food?
Well, New Zealand's been widely admired for more than 20 years for having a comprehensive GST system without all the compliance costs and complexity of differentiating between some things which are GST-able and some things which aren't. So I think you'd find some reluctance to move away from that. But when GST was introduced, and that's more than two decades ago, that was where the origins of what we now know as Working for Families, which used to be Family Support, came from, and it was to compensate people at that time for the effect of an across-the-board GST. There was a major tax reform at that time. Obviously, the top tax rate had come down for Mr Mulvaney, 66%. This broad-based consumption tax went in its place, but it was recognised that it would have an effect, and that's why Family Support and the success of Working for Families has been so important.
What about lowering GST across the board as one option in the tax cut scenario?
Well, I don't really want to be caught up in a discussion about what's in the budget, what isn't in the budget, but it wouldn't take a genius to work out that there's never been ideas of that kind to clash.
When you say we've been admired for having a comprehensive GST system, we're also one of only three countries in the world that that levies the tax on food at the same rate as other items. So doesn't that leave us somewhat isolated from our major comparative countries like Australia or Britain?
Generally, they, I understand, express some envy that they don't have a comprehensive system. There's no doubt that to do it other ways creates its complexity. When the Australian consumption tax went through, there was the debate about the cooked chicken versus the uncooked chicken, one attracting the GST and the other not. We haven't had those sorts of debates because we've had an across-the-board approach, but that must go with proper support for households like families, which can be hit hard on these areas so when the prices are rising.
Is Working for Families then, to some extent, still the compensation for GST?
Well, the origin of it was in the Family Support, which was designed for precisely that purpose, to bump up tax credits, tax relief for families. And that continues to that day. And Working for Families is a very important part of the package of taking pressure off families with children.
So what are the chances
that GST would be removed from food? Well, what I'm signalling is that we have an across-the-board system which is generally regarded as simple to administer. That means it's very low on complexity, which means it's low on compliance costs, and therefore there'd obviously be considerable reservation about changing them.
You said today that that relief in the budget would be timely for families, and I'm just wondering what you mean by timely.
Well, it's obvious, isn't it? A lot of our families are facing pressures at the moment. If their mortgage has come off a fixed rate of 2 or 3 years ago and they're paying more each month on that, obviously there are items in the food basket which have increased quite significantly, even though overall inflation at 3.4% would still also be regarded as enviable in many parts of the world. And then fuel costs are high. These things are affected by international factors, obviously, but they do impact on the Kiwi family.
One of the issues, though, is that they're impacting at the moment, and any tax cuts may not happen next year.
Well, I just don't think it's productive to get drawn into any further discussion about the budget. This is a frustrating time for you as you're trying to write stories, and it's a frustrating time for us. But there are basic things we observe about budget secrecy.
Are there other issues or other mechanisms, though, apart from tax cuts, which might provide the relief that families are looking for?
Well, I think you've always got to look at the overall social wage, and we've regarded as a very important part of the support for families, obviously working for families, which is tax relief, obviously the cheaper doctor's fees, obviously the 20 hours free early childhood education, which is saving a lot of families, $80 to $90 per week for a child in the centre. That's equivalent to a tax cut of over $4,000 a year. Prescription charges are way down. There's many ways in which we've been able to support household income. Not to forget, of course, that there are 360,000 plus more Kiwis in work. So all these issues are important as well.
And
yet
people are saying at the moment that there's quite a large number of people saying at the moment they feel worse off than a year ago, even though they've got relief for families, and also that they're worried about meeting.
But they would, because if your mortgage has just come off a fixed rate and has gone into a higher rate, of course you would feel pressure. You would feel pressure from those basic items in the food basket being high. You'd feel pressure from the fuel prices being high. So that's all entirely understandable.
Has any talk been given to extending relief
for families? Well, I mean, from time to time it needs to be updated for sure. I think you'll find there's probably a trigger mechanism for that in the scheme.
Well,
look, I think Ian Rennie will be a fine State Services Commissioner. He's not someone I know well. He did serve for a short period in the Department of Prime Minister and Cabinet. He's come from the Treasury, where he was highly regarded as a Deputy Secretary. He's been the Deputy in the State Services Commission. So if one is looking for a well-rounded person with a good track record and senior positions in the public sector, then I think he stacks up on every single count, and I think he'll do a fine job.
He's one of those civil servants, to put it bluntly, who just seems faceless to us in the media, I think. Do you know anything at all about him?
No. But maybe that's the way it should be. I'm happy to know nothing about him. I'm happy simply to look at the CV, have had the interactions I've had with him as Prime Minister, to know that he is very highly regarded in the Treasury and the State Services Commission. He was highly regarded in Department of Prime Minister and Cabinet when he served there for a time. I think the record is very strong.
Did he do a good job during the Schedule affair?
Well, yes, I think he did do his best to try and mend that, if you like, but it wasn't an easy or straightforward issue.
Just in terms of sort of getting back to the household budget, the danger of all these price increases at the moment is that people's expectations of what the government might be able to deliver in the form of relief might have crept up a lot. I mean, whereas a year ago they might have said $20 would make a difference, now they might be saying $50 would make a difference, or $40. I mean, how difficult.
Well, that's trying to draw me into a discussion about what might be in the budget. I'm just not going to go.
Does it concern you that the Fairfax poll at the weekend had a significant proportion of the voters feeling that National was running the economy better than Labour? Is that a wake-up call?
I think that simply reflects the overall way in which the poll came out on party figures. You'll find that if you reported a somewhat closer result, that figure would have been affected by that. It's simply a factor of that poll expressing a large lead for another party. I do think that's on the outlier of the polls. And there are now so many polls, I really don't propose to keep up a running commentary on each one of them either. They've all got their eccentricities and features.
Do you think Peter Dutt's ever going to get his income splitting idea into any government?
depends whether he's in a box seat, I suppose, come the post-election negotiation. But there are issues with income splitting, which are apparent. It's clear who it advantages most, and that is those on higher incomes. Now, our concern right now has to be for those on low and modest incomes who are facing the kinds of price rises and pressures we've been referring to today. As I said, it depends on whether this party's in a box seat following the election to make that some kind of condition.